We're calling commissioned. We are co-missioned. We're like the Blues Brothers, right? We're on a mission from God. And so this is this holistic view. It's kind of a big perspective to say that we are helping God with what God is continuing to do in this world. I mean, that's a big idea. How do we go about even doing that? And I can hear some of the arguments in my own mind and just arguments from the church itself, not our church as in arguments, but I mean around the world, is we can't be everywhere. We can't do everything. We can't help everybody. I hear about things that constantly go on in the world that I wish would be fixed and could be fixed, but I don't know how to go about doing that. I don't know what that looks like. I can't even give to every cause unless I gave them all just a penny or something like that and sent them all around. And so we begin to kind of limit ourselves and begin to say, how are we going to do this big thing called the mission of God in the world? And it's a fair question, and it's a good question. So what does it look like to be on mission with God? We looked last week and we began to understand some of our mission and part of our mission and how we get ready for this mission through our service of remembrance of our baptism, to remember that we are a baptized people and to be thankful. We talked about how we resist and we renounce the evil forces of wickedness. And that's talking about repentance in our own lives. We also say that evil should not exist in the world. And in all the ways that we understand evil to be going on in the world, we speak against it and say the world should not be this way. And we mentioned last week that people get upset when it comes into the political sphere, and we say that this is evil and this shouldn't be happening. And so we get dinged with things like, you know, we shouldn't talk about politics in the church, right? Things like that. But we are a people who have the God-given mission to make sure that we begin to make this world look as much like the kingdom of heaven as we possibly can. If I were going to try to summarize the mission of God in this world, I think that's how I would summarize it, is that we are trying, just like Jesus in the prayer that he taught us, for God's will to come and reign on earth and for the kingdom to come to be on earth, so that this world, this earth, the one that we are given now, would look as much like heaven as we can possibly make it. Now, we're not naive or ignorant and think that we can possibly change everything, but we're also people of fortitude and perseverance and courage who know that there are things that need to change, and we need to be a part of that change as the people of God. We talked about this word. We said we were going to resist the forces of injustice and oppression. And I think resist is a word that in this context, sometimes we don't understand the way that I believe we meant it when we wrote these vows and we began to understand what God is calling us to. Resist almost sounds passive, like it's just about me, right? Like if it tries to get me, I'm going to resist it. If I'm getting mugged, I'm going to resist it. It's just about me. And that's one understanding of it. But it means that we go out into the world and we resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever way that they present themselves. So it's not just about me resisting evil and injustice and oppression. It's about resisting it in all of the places that it takes place in this world. Again, that is a huge job. We confessed, and this is where the life of a disciple really begins to meet the road. We begin to confess the ways that we fall short of this mission of God, the ways that we fall short of being Christ-like. Number one, that takes admitting that we might be wrong. Y'all like that? Right? You love it. I just love talking about all the ways I was wrong. If we could talk about that more, that would be fantastic, right? That would just make my day. Nothing. Every morning I wake up and I'm like, I hope that repeatedly today we could talk about all the ways that I've been wrong, right? You ever, maybe it's in your relationship with your spouse or with somebody else, you never know, and you mess up, and then you know that they know that you messed up, and you know they're about to come down the stairs with a projector and they're going to run the game film, and we're going to pause every 3 seconds and talk about how we just messed up, right? And by we, they mean me. Yeah. But we do that as disciples. I always think it's strange when it's not strange that a new person comes, but sometimes I feel like offering an apology on Holy Communion Sunday is not because of Holy Communion, but because we admit that we are a flawed people in our confession, that we haven't loved God or people with our whole hearts, that we have failed to hear God's cry, that we haven't helped the needy. And sometimes admitting that out loud is like, oh man, who wants to go to a church that doesn't help the needy and has failed to love God and has done all these things? Well, we want to be a church that admits that we fall short sometimes, that admits that we don't have it all right, that we don't have all the answers, that we try and we will continue to try, and we will move on towards perfection and refine. But we are a people that confess that we didn't get it all right. And sometimes we mess up. And maybe it's one time, maybe it's every day, maybe it's all the time. And we continue to confess and not do that or think that or whatever it is. And to build new ways of being into our lives. And that's hard. We also said through our baptismal vows that we will represent Jesus Christ in the world. That we will be representatives of Jesus Christ, and that we will represent the mission of Jesus in this world. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I think, I'm not qualified for that. I mess up. We just talked about that. How am I going to go out into the world and be a representative for Christ when I'm not perfect? What does that even look like? How do we get to that place? And so before we begin to get weighed down by these kind of more lofty ideals, we're going to kind of go back and think about some bedrock ways that we can continue to build our lives as a disciple. What are some of the things that we do as disciples that will begin to lead us in a life where we get to represent Jesus Christ? And we talk about them in our membership vows. We talk about some concrete things that we can do. We say that we will be faithful in our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Have you heard us say those over? You probably remember them when there's been a baptism. We read the liturgy off, right? We say those words. They sound good. And then we go about our week. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. So during the rest of this series, we're going to talk through what it looks like for prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, and how that is kind of a foundational aspect of what the life of a disciple looks like. And during our Lenten series, we're going to begin to dive a little bit deeper into very practical ways that we can live out those as well as other aspects of our faith. We're going to get a little bit more into the nitty-gritty during Lent. But today we're going to start out with 1 Thessalonians. Miss May shared it with you. We're going to share again. 1 Thessalonians 5, and this is verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One more time. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I've shared this with you before, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be vulnerable with you about my shortcomings here. I love the song Amazing Grace. You've probably heard it, right? Lots of us love that song. It's like Sweet Home Alabama, but for Christians, right? It's Amazing Grace. I'm a Christian. I love Sweet Home Alabama too, but that's beside the point. Y'all can judge me for that one as well. But it was during the singing of that song that I thought I probably couldn't be a Christian, right? Because it was talking about heaven, and it said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like singing that much. And I remember thinking, I'm going to sing for 10,000 years, and that's going to feel like it just began? I don't listen to Freebird, even though I like Lynyrd Skynyrd, because that's too long. I can't listen for that long. I can't enjoy it for that long. I can't even remember what we were talking about when we started. By the end of that song, I don't even know what's happening. I wouldn't even request it at a middle school dance if I was hoping to dance with one person for 9 minutes, because I just can't take it. And this verse where it says to pray continually, this gives me that feeling a little bit. Maybe it doesn't for you. You're so much more pious and better than me. But we're talking about praying continually, praying all the time. I already feel like I can't do that. What does that look like? How do we pray continually? And you've talked about this before and in classes and at other points in time. And I'm going to get some feedback from you in just a minute. Maybe you've figured this all out. But when I think about what it means to pray all the time, it makes me afraid that I can't do that. That I can't be that I can't live that. And it makes me think maybe this wasn't for me then, if this is something that I've got to do. So today we're going to begin to reframe just a little bit how we might understand prayer, because there's many aspects to prayer. And they're all right, right? But we're going to begin to reframe a little bit of what it looks like to be a person of prayer. Now, when we think about prayer, there are specific examples all throughout Scripture. We have people pray all throughout Scripture. There's prayers that they give us. Like Jesus says, when they ask him, how do we pray? Jesus says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then we go on. Now, we added that last bit sometime later, but for the most part, it's all in there, right? We find it in Matthew. And so we have this prayer that Jesus has given us. If you're going to pray, when they ask Jesus, how do you pray? He tells them to do this. So at the very least, we repeat that, because even if we didn't perhaps mean it, even if we don't understand it, at least we're trying to do what Jesus told us to do. We see David and Moses and others talk to God all the time and to have long, eloquent prayers. We can read David's Psalms and see these long and beautiful prayers. And then other times we see the emotion of David. It's like he's just saying a stream of consciousness about how hurt and wounded he is. And he's giving this to God as a moment of prayer as well. We see people pray for all kinds of reasons. They pray when they're happy. They pray when they're sad. They pray when they rejoice and something wonderful has happened. They pray when there's difficulty. They pray just to get through the day. Now, if most of us were going to be honest, at least at some point in our life, really the only time we pray is when the only thing we have is a prayer, right? Right? But we have seen throughout Scripture that people try to build a conversation with God, is one way to look at it, into the everyday rhythms of their life. Now, we've given out formulas for prayer. Have you all ever heard of a formula for prayer? No, have you all ever heard of people talk about ACTS, A-C-T-S, right? So like adoration. So like you think about how Paul starts his letters to people, you know, this kind of large theological. In Jesus' prayer, he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? So we have this adoration. God, we realize that you are something separate from who we are. We realize that you are great. We realize that we don't understand you completely, but we realize that you are the creator, you are the redeemer, you are the sustainer, you are all of these things, right? So we have this kind of adoration. God, we realize that even when we don't understand what's happening around us, that you are great. And then we have confession. So this C for A-C-T-S, we have confession. Lord, these are the ways that I've fallen short. These are the things that I don't understand in the world. These are the things that I'm thinking about and wanting to do. Does that sound okay with you? What does that look like? Am I rightly aligned? Today I heard that I might be doing this wrong, and that made me mad. Am I wrong? Am I wrong for being mad? Do I owe somebody an apology? What does confession look like in your life? So we have adoration, confession. What's the T? Thanksgiving. Lord, we are so grateful. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for this food, right? Lord, we are grateful for the ways that you provide for us. We're grateful for those children I said earlier that ran out of here. We're grateful for the monetary, the physical gifts that we have so that we can survive in this world. We're grateful for the people who are sitting around us that are related to us, that love us. We're grateful for the people who are outside of here that we love and that they love us. We're grateful for freedoms. We share our gratitude all the time. It's our Thanksgiving. And then we have, S is kind of a fancy word, supplication, right? And by supplication, we just simply mean asking for what we need. I need to be healed. God, please heal me. I need you to fix this thing that I've really messed up. I did that earlier. I said how I messed up, so now can we just fix it, right? We've seen other formulas. Sometimes, and we don't do this, and this may be a little bit of a straw man argument, but I have heard it, that the reason your prayers weren't answered is because you didn't pray right. Maybe you've had that fear, maybe more so than somebody else telling you that, because I hope nobody's telling you that. They would be wrong. We go back to the C part. But maybe you felt that way. I don't know how to pray. How do you talk to God? What does that look like? I remember feeling that way in my life. How do you begin to talk to God? And when you go in, you meet a famous person on the street, you don't even know how to talk to him. Much less talking to God. What does that even look like? You see, the life of a disciple is not to master anything, it's to be mastered by the Spirit of God. And prayer is a huge part of that. Now, prayer is usually always a reflection on Scripture and a reflection on our life. It's the intersection between what we want and what God wants. It's the intersection between our life, how we have historically understood God and what we're doing and how we're learning about God, and then what we actually go and do in this world and how we live. We go to the Psalms. Those are wonderful prayers. They can be written as poems. They can be sung like hymns. We go to our hymnal. It was in a class this morning. We were talking about how hymns are oftentimes these poems, but they could be sermons. They could be prayers. They could be all kinds of things because they're getting at the heart of this intersection between who God is, our holy scriptures, and what's really going on in our life, right? We think about Amazing Grace. We need God's grace. It's simply a song about how we couldn't exist without the understanding of God's salvific love for us in such a way that it washes over whatever we have done, could do, or will do, because that is how God loves us. The hymns are great places to turn for prayers when you feel like you don't know what to pray. I'm not going to get you to raise your hand, but perhaps you've been in a place before or often feel like you just don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know what that looks like. We have prayers of our faith that go throughout history. I brought a sheet with me this morning. I'll send it out to you in our email this afternoon about the warming shelter. But we gave this to our confirmands this year, and it's just simply titled Ancient Prayers. But it went throughout the history of the church and just took out some of the more prevalent prayers. We have like the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, St. Patrick's breastplate prayer. We have from Mother Teresa. We have the serenity prayer. If you've ever heard of or been around, you say, God grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it actually continues on a little bit longer, but that's the part we see in movies when somebody is going through a rehab or something like that, right? So there are prayers that we can turn to when we don't know what to do and somebody else might have already prayed those things. But if we step back just a second to the question of what is prayer, I read a couple of definitions that I wanted to share with you. This one is from a gentleman named Jim Harnish. It says, in Scripture, the primary purpose of prayer is to enable us to live in an intimate relationship with God so that we become the agents of God's saving purpose in this world. In Scripture, the primary purpose of prayer is to enable us to live in an intimate relationship with God so that we become the agents of God's saving purpose in the world. And I love this second one by St. Francis of Assisi, and I think that after reading it, this shapes my understanding of prayer, that it's okay to have the formulas to pray. It's okay to do that. They're not rigid, and if you forget a step, you're not in trouble. Your prayer still counts. It's okay to use prayers that have been written before. I remember being in a church where if you didn't pray extemporaneously, meaning just out of the spirit, that it really didn't count. Reading someone else's prayers or handwriting a prayer beforehand or whatever it may have been really didn't count. It had to be extemporaneous or else we wouldn't know that it was from the Spirit. Well, we don't believe that. Otherwise, we wouldn't pray what Jesus told us to pray 2,000 years ago. We wouldn't pray the things that David prayed. We see Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? That was already a written prayer. It's Psalm 22, right? We are a people who can take the traditions and the history that we have and use those in our own time. Now, we still want to meet God where we are in our everyday life. This quote by St. Francis of Assisi, remember, he was the one that I've quoted before that said, you should preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words, right? That the way that we live, the way that we are, is the preaching of the gospel truth. Not a theological, doctrinal, linear format of some ideology, but the idea that God's saving love and grace for all of humanity is active in the world. I'm going to live that good news and share words with it when necessary. So he said, we should seek not so much to pray, but to become prayer. We should seek not so much to pray, but to become prayer. Now, I ask you this morning, what on earth does that mean? And I'm serious, what do you think it means? What does it mean to become prayer? Don't worry, I'll wait.
Action?
Yeah, absolutely. Become the answer to someone else's prayer? That would be wonderful, yeah. Awareness of where God is in God's presence. Yeah. I don't think there's a wrong answer here, and I don't think there's a summation that just gives us the perfect answer to this, and maybe St. Francis of Assisi was wrong. We are trying to be shaped as best we can into who God has intended us to be and into who God is in all that we do. The way that we speak to people, the way that we make other people feel, the way that we behave in public, the way that we behave in private. In all ways, we are trying to be Christ-like. Not in an effort to be Christ, right, in some egomaniac kind of way, not in a way to try to be God, but in a way to make sure that we're not trying to be God, that we're trying not to be our own little selfish mini-gods who use everything to our own advantage and for our own purposes. And so a life of prayer, I believe what St. Francis of Assisi is getting at is that a life of prayer is a life of trying to be conformed into that image, is a life of trying to be that all the time. So when I read in 1 Thessalonians, if we want to throw that back up on the screen, thank you very much, Kara, we're jumping back in time. When it begins to tell us to pray continually, the way that I have grown to understand this is one, am I going to pray, you know, as the day goes on? Do I take everything that's going on in this world and in my life to God? That's a wonderful way to pray continually. But I also believe it's about constantly being shaped into who God would have me to be. So when I read pray continually, I don't think of it like the last verse of Amazing Grace anymore. I think of it as the journey of a Christian life and discipleship, of where I am trying to be in such strong communion and relationship with God that I am able to understand how God would behave in this moment and in this world, and I am able to live that out to the best of my ability, realizing that I will fail, realizing that I will not always get it right, realizing that sometimes I think God would have done one thing and then I do it and I realize that was just me, right? And that God wouldn't have done it that way. And I hope that I'm a big enough person to go back to the C part, to the confession part, and say I was wrong instead of just doubling down on why I was probably right. We should seek not so much to pray, but to become prayer. Now, I wanted to ask you for your wisdom this morning to share with one another. So I'm actually asking for feedback here. What are some of the practices of prayer that have worked in your life? Because, and I'm going to preface with this, I don't know about you. Maybe some of you pray all the time and you really enjoy it. Maybe some of you, I can speak for myself here, is probably adult ADHD. I don't know. But when I go to pray, that's a great time to make a list of everything else I should be doing, right? Because that's what begins to happen. I'm like, dear God, I forgot to mow the grass, right? Like, that's what goes on. And so I said, so I actually, here's a prayer practice that works for me. When I know that I'm going to have a time where I'm going to sit down and pray, and it's not like I block out huge amounts of times, but when I know I'm going to do it, I try to keep something I can write with or a note I can type on so that when those things pop in my mind, I write them down. My mind then leaves them alone. They know that they're captured. I know that they're there, and I'll get to them, and I'll stop reminding myself about the grass or whatever it is, right? And then I can focus. So that's a prayer practice that works for me. What's a prayer practice that works for you?
Persistence.
Yes. Yes, sir. Peace of mind. Well, we're going to need you to teach a class on that, Miss Joyce.
Yeah. I like to keep it short.
Short and sweet.
Adult ADHD too.
We'll share some. Yeah. Dear God, I forgot to mow the grass. Yes, ma'am. Miss Pat, go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. I think the prayer a lot of times starts as a, for me, it's initiated by reading scripture. It's initiated by reading something about what God is doing in this world or a way of being, and then I begin to reflect on it, and that can lead to a wonderful conversation with God. Absolutely.
Doing it
when you feel like it. So when you're actually prompted, right? When you kind of feel that maybe this is a thing you should do, actually do it then. That's probably great advice, right? Yeah. Somebody else, I heard somebody.
Set a time,
yeah. Now, people are different. That's why we're asking for the practices that worked for you. I don't want you to get into a place where if I couldn't do that, then I'm not going to do it, right? But setting a timer, setting a time, having a time of day, having an alarm that's set, things like that. I've seen people do that, and it seems to work for some folks. Yeah. Okay. So kind of wait and see a little bit. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but actually part of prayer may be listening.
Keep a journal.
Well then, and the benefit of that, I don't want to put words in your mouth again, but the benefit of that is you can go back and see what God has been doing. I've heard about people who keep prayer journals, and that's another thing that makes me feel like maybe this isn't for me, like when I think about detailing it all out. But they keep a journal and they go back and look at the ways that God has answered prayer, the things that they may continue to be praying about, and it helps build their faith because they begin to see that God is at work. Sam, what were you going
to
say?
Don't wait for ideal conditions to pray.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right. Don't wait for ideal conditions. I don't know about you, but anytime I wait for ideal conditions, that just means I don't want to do that thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's like that's why I'm always going to start working out next Monday. But then that Monday gets here, and I mean, there's sleep, and it's cold, and I don't have the right shorts.
While you're working out.
Appreciate that, Norm. Thanks, Norm. Yeah. So if you pray, you have to work out more?
Yeah.
Or vice versa. If you work out, you can pray more? I don't know. Yeah. That's a great way. Yeah. Go ahead, Miss Peggy. Yeah. So if you turn it off in the car, maybe you're spending some time commuting, right? That might be a great way. I hear lots of people share that one. They'll listen to music that maybe gets them in the mood. There are wonderful podcasts out there that it's not just somebody talking, but they actually lead you in a time of prayer based on the Christian calendar throughout the year. There's one I really like. It's called Pray As You Go, but it's a podcast and they have hymns and music and scripture and prayers. And it's like 15 minutes. I think it's 10 minutes each one. And that's a great way to do it too. And you can have it on the go, subscribe, just there every morning. Yeah.
I do a lot of my prayer around bedtime.
Yeah, right, when you're getting ready to go to bed. I used to feel bad. This is a good one. I used to feel bad when I would try to pray at night because I would just fall asleep, right? And then I started thinking, maybe that's a great way to go to bed. Like I went to bed talking to God.
Also, if I hit a pothole, that's always a reminder to play.
Yeah, yeah, when you hit a pothole is a reminder to play, right? Absolutely, absolutely. I will say that I prompted myself on this one year, and it's a habit that stuck a little bit. It doesn't happen all the time. But when I start to say something that I probably shouldn't say, that's probably a good time to pray, right? So you can take that for what it's worth. Anybody else? Prayer practices that have worked for you? Praying at your meal. Yeah, absolutely. Do what? Yeah, contemplative prayer, prayer in silence. I just wanted you to hear some ideas of some things that had worked. I know for me, I feel like I have a complicated relationship with God sometimes, right? And sometimes it's so easy to pray. I'm so grateful and I can see how God is active in my life. And it doesn't just mean like things are going good. Things could even be going bad, but I can see how God is active in my life and how this is going, right? There. And so sometimes I want to pray and it's easy to pray. Sometimes I'm not so happy with God. Sometimes our relationship would be described as it's complicated. And I don't know what I want to do in those moments. Sometimes I don't know how to talk to God. And so what do I do when I catch myself most often when I'm prompted to pray, it's because I need or want something, right? And so I'm sure y'all aren't as selfish as I am, and y'all have more better reasons. You're probably also better with English than I am. But yeah, so I wanted to encourage you this morning that it's not a practice that's so far out of reach that we shouldn't even try. When we see things like pray continually, like I said, it begins to make me feel like I might not be able to do that. So then I don't really get started down that journey, down that path. But it's more about becoming and being in relationship with God in such a way that who God is permeates who you are. Not that you're perfect, not that you got it all figured out, but that you're trying, right? And so we talk to God when we're prompted, in the car, when we might say what we shouldn't say, when we set a time of day, when we listen to the radio or we turn it off, whatever it may be, when we have our daily devotion, we pray here at church together, you might pray as a family at your meal, pray during all of those times. But what I hope and what I believe about prayer is that all of those times are about my relationship with God, with growing that, and more about making me. It's less and less about getting what I want, and it's more about being made into the being that God would have me to be. And so when I think about praying continuously, I think about trying my best to continually be who God would have me to be. And that requires talking to God and growing in that relationship and taking my ideas and my confessions. Sometimes it takes, when I say, you know, God, Almighty, Creator of heaven, things, sometimes I'm just reminding myself that those things are true and I'm not all of those things. There are different reasons. So as we get ready to go, there's one prayer that I read about this past week as I was looking into this, and they just called it the Jesus Prayer, but it just simply said, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Another one, you probably heard this before, is simply, we call them breath prayers, but on the inhale, you have something that you pray, and on the exhale, you have something that you pray. You may have heard people who just say like God or Jesus or whatever it is, but you can have the kind of address of who God is. You can think God Almighty, and when you breathe in, it's God Almighty. And then put in there your petition when you breathe out. Heal me. Save me. Be with me. Make me. Whatever it might be. And every time you breathe in and out, perhaps sometimes you'll be reminded of this and you'll be prompted to pray. My friends, as we get ready for our last song, thank you very much to close today. We are a people. Yeah, come on up. We're a people of prayer. And not in a way that's legalistic or there's some formula we have to do or we're not Christian if we're not praying all the time, but we are a people who, in order to do the mission of God, are trying to be in the best relationship we can be with God and with each other and trying to be shaped into, constantly refined to be, the person that God would have us to be. And sometimes that's at odds with the person that we want to be and the things that we want to do and the ways that we wish the world was. And so I want to encourage you to take that to God in prayer, right? And to help God help us be who God created us to be. And in such a way, we would be praying continually. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you are a God who listens, who doesn't set up barriers of right ritual or perfect words or right times or whatever it might be. I believe that like a good father, you want to talk to me. You want to hear from us. And you want us to be all that we can. And you're ready to help us. So help us to be a people of prayer, a people of right relationship with you, with each other, and being constantly refined into who you would have us to be and the ways that you would have us to live. In your son's name we pray. Amen.